If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And as you might remember, we're in a section of Colossians, which we call the application section. He's been covering the supremacy and the sufficiency of who Jesus Christ is in chapters 1 and 2. And chapters 3 is really broken up into three sections about now how do we live out these truths that the Lord's been graciously telling us through Paul, which he originally told the church of Colossae. And so the first section of that chapter, as you guys recall, was put away these things. These are the sinful things that you need to stop doing. We titled that, Let's Kill Sin. But when we put away something, as Butch reminded me of last week, we can't just say, stop doing this. We then need to start doing something in its place. And that's where the second section of Colossians chapter 3 came in. And that second section was, okay, now do these things. And we look to the greatest example of those things, which was Jesus Christ, which is Jesus Christ. And that's why we titled that one, last week's message, Let's Be Christ-like. Today's section, the final section of application here for this chapter, is regarding things of the household or things of the workplace. So I've titled this one, Let's Live Godly. Because this is all about, okay, how do we live? Because the truth is, you and I do most of our living at home or at work. Most of your living happens in those two places. Probably 90 to 95% of your life is spent in those two places. We do occasionally get little vacations, but more than likely you're on vacation with family, so it still involves the household. And so our section is going to be talking today to a few different people. A handful of people, really. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, and then slaves and masters. Wives, husband, children, fathers, and then slaves and masters. And so if you would, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to be in Colossians 3, starting in verse 18. We're actually going to go through chapter 4, verse 1 as well. And this is what the Word of God says. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of God. You can be seated. And as you're being seated, would you also bow with me? Lord, you've not only purchased a people for yourself through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you've also designed a way for them to live. You've designed a way for us to live. And as the designer, your designs are perfect. And so, Father, I pray, please help us to live out these truths so that we can find fullness of joy. Our greatest purpose, our greatest peace, give us grace to do these things. I pray, Father, that you would help and give strength to families right now that are struggling. Give grace and strength to employees that are struggling. Lord, those that don't have a family yet that want one, help them. Those that are not married yet but want to be, help them also. Lord, help us all where we are in Christ's name. Amen. If I would have invented something and I presented that to you, you would probably take my advice about how that thing works the best. Like if I was the inventor of the car, wouldn't that be amazing? And I said to you, this is how the car works. You have to press this to go and press this to stop and turn this. And these are the turn signals that alert people when you're going to turn left and when you're going to turn right. And here's how you turn on the windshield wipers when it's raining and all these things. If you disobeyed or if you didn't follow those instructions, if you said, yeah, I get that you made this and you designed it and you think you know how it works right, but I'm going to get in this thing and I'm going to show you how it's done. You would wreck if you did it your way. If you said, this pedal on the left, I think it should be the go pedal. And this pedal on the right, I think it should be the stop pedal. So that's how I'm going to operate the vehicle. You'd wreck. The Lord designed the household. The Lord designed marriage. The Lord designed all these things. The Lord designed work for man. He knows how those things work best. When you jump in and say, I'm going to do it my way, you will find yourself in a wreck. You probably know many people that come from households that are not healthy. Maybe you came from a household that wasn't healthy. And if you did, I'm sorry. Maybe you're still in a household that's not healthy. I feel badly for you, and I'm sorry for that. I really am. The Lord knows you. He knows where you are. And He's a helper in those things. But here's the truth. If you want those things to function like they're supposed to, take the Lord's advice. Do what He says. And you'll find fullness of joy. And you'll find that that thing, your marriage, your work, whatever it is, will function like it's supposed to. And you won't wreck. So, a few controversial topics to talk about, I guess. But what else is new, right? So we start off here with this one. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And this should not be controversial, should it? But unfortunately, this whole submission thing has been stamped with a lot of wrong faces. Instead of taking cues from what the Lord says in His Word is submission and what it means, sometimes we go right to the negative and we think that is what submission is and that's what it means and therefore I don't like it. I'm gonna fight against it. But let's first talk about what submission is and what it means and what it's not and what it doesn't mean. Submission refers to, first of all, a wife's divine calling, which means from God. Divine calling would be from Him. So this is the wife's divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership. A wife's divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership. Secondly, it means this. It's a disposition to yield to the husband's guidance and her inclination to follow his lead. A disposition to yield to his guidance, follow his lead. Now let's talk about what it's not, and then we'll get into these a bit more. Usually, unfortunately, and I even saw a video once of vows being given. And the preacher said to the woman, you know, repeat after me, say these things. And he got to the submit part, and she paused. And she didn't want to say that part. Submit? What do you mean? It does not mean absolute surrender to the husband's will. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean absolute surrender. Like, woman, you just sit there, don't think, don't talk. I said do this, you go do it. And it doesn't mean the woman's just supposed to be like, I'm not supposed to think, I'm not supposed to talk. I just sit here and take orders. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what God is talking about. It also never means that the wife is supposed to follow the husband into sin. It never means that. The Lord never intended that. We're going to see in just a moment that it's going to talk about obeying in everything. There is a time when it's okay to disobey. If you've been given orders, directions from anyone, this could be any sort of authority figure in your life. There's two times it's okay to disobey those authority figures. If that authority figure is telling you to do something that God said not to do, or if that authority figure says not to do something that God says to do. Basically, if you're being told to disobey God, or if you're being told to sin. In those two times, it's okay to disobey the governing authorities or to disobey any kind of authority. But those are the only two times. In Ephesians, we get a little bit more of a larger explanation of these commands. Colossians is the very condensed version of all these things, to wives, to husbands, to children, to fathers. But in the book of Ephesians, we have a parallel of these commands given to the church at Ephesus also. The Lord wanted not just the church at Colossae to know these things, He wanted lots of people to know these things. And so when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he gave a more extensive explanation of these things. So let's look at the parallel section now to the wife submitting to the husbands, because he expounds on it a bit more in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. My guys have this right behind me up there. So look what he says in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Very similar to what we read in Colossians, as is fitting to the Lord. Talk about that a little bit more. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. See, that's the everything part. Paul never intended, though, for a wife to follow the husband into sin. He didn't mean that. And that's clear if you read the rest of Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. He would never intend for that. Paul uses, if you didn't notice, the illustration of a body. So why does this work good? Look at verse 23 again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So I want to elaborate on this body-head relationship thing. As you know, the body doesn't function without the head, and the head doesn't function without the body, right? I'm talking about a physical body here, like my body. You separate one from the other, I don't work anymore. The body submits to the head, right? My brain gives commands to my body, and it does things. I'm saying, move my fingers right now. I'm saying, walk left. I'm saying, walk right. And my body's obeying. It's doing what it's supposed to do. If I have a body that doesn't take those commands right, we call that person handicapped, don't we? There are people that you know. Their body does not take the commands of the head. And that person's handicapped. That person is limited. That person is not functioning fully like he or she should. And it's going to be the same way in the marriage, too. We're going to talk about the head in just a second, but now we're talking about the body taking the commands of the head. But when the wife tries to become the head, the body doesn't function right. God has intended the wife to submit to the husband's lead. And that's easy to do, wives, when you know you have a husband that loves you, when you know you have a husband that you can trust, when you know you have a husband that has your best intentions in mind and is godly. I think you women would all agree it's much easier to do, right? And there are instances where the husband is not like that. It still applies to that wife too, but never to follow into sin. We're told about a wife later on in the Scriptures that may win her husband over to the Lord. She's married to an unbeliever. And she's told, by your character, you may win him over to the Lord. So yes, wives, some of you, I get it. Not a good household. Be Christ in the household, though. Be light to the husband. Still lovingly yield to him when it's not sinful. And who knows, the Lord may draw him. You've seen households, though, where the roles were swapped, haven't you? I have. I've seen that man that was just beat down by the wife. It was just, poor guy. I was just like, that poor man. And I've met some women before and never met the husband, but I met the woman and I prayed for her husband, not knowing who he even was. But I was like, that poor man, he needs prayer. These roles have to function this way. Let me tell you why. That's when you'll find fullness of joy. That's when you'll find the best marriage that you can have. Okay? Not trying to sound like Joel Osteen, your best life now, but I'm saying you can't have your best marriage now by following the Lord's commands. When the woman yields to the head, just like we as the church yield to Jesus, he's saying. See, he brings this back to Jesus and the church's relationship. Hey, just like the church says, yes, Lord, we're going to do this. We're going to go this direction. We're going to act this way. We're going to do this. We're going to not do this. The wife is to do that as well to the husband. Now, that will be easy for you to do, ladies, when the husband acts like this next man. So now let's look at our next verse in Colossians. We have a command for the husbands now. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Anytime we have an authority figure, that authority figure has authority, right? That's why we call him or her an authority figure. Maybe you have a female boss. That's why I said her. Right? There's authority there. If I have authority, I can misuse it. I can be heavy-handed. I can be rough with you. Maybe you had a dad like that, or maybe you have a husband like that, or maybe you have an employer like that. Maybe you met some kind of authority figure that was just rough, heavy-handed, do what I tell you to do. I don't care about your feelings. Do it. And that's being harsh. And we're told specifically, don't be like that with your wife. Don't be harsh with her. Instead, we're told to love her. Love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. In Ephesians, we're told more about this. He goes much further. We can go ahead and put that on the screen, but before we get there, I talked earlier about what it means for a wife to submit and what it doesn't mean. So let's now talk about what it means for the husband to be the head and also what that doesn't mean. So for the husband to be the head, biblical headship is this. The husband's divine calling from God, divine calling is what that means, to take primary role in Christ-like leadership, Christ-like protection, and Christ-like provision. Leadership, protection, and provision. Christ-like leadership, protection, and provision. All three of those things. That's what it means for me to be the head of my household. I'm the primary one to do those things. Now let's talk about what it's not. What does it not mean for me to be the head? Well, it doesn't mean a series of commands to my wife. It's not just, you do this. It doesn't mean, woman, go get me my chips. That's not what we're talking about here, me being the head. Doesn't mean that. And it's also not one-way decision-making. Like I said earlier, you just be over there. I don't need your input. Don't need your help. I'm going to make all the decisions here. You just be. And I'll let you know when you need to do something. It doesn't mean that either. Remember, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make for him a helper. She's here to help me. Not to take over, but to help me. And we work together. Like we have a saying in our home, Daddy's the big boss, Mommy's the little boss. Both bosses. We're both bosses. But Daddy's the big boss, and Mommy's the little boss. Will it be easier for her to be okay with that if I am loving toward her? Absolutely. It's easy to yield to someone, to submit to someone's authority who you know loves you, has your best intentions in mind. Even if you're not crazy about what he or she is saying, whatever, it's easier to yield to them when you know he loves me. He really does, and he believes he's doing what's right here. I'm going to back his play. It's much easier. And it's going to be easier for her to do those things when I'm loving her. And guess what? She's going to then give me the respect that I need and want because she's getting what she needs and wants. It's this beautiful circle that happens. There's actually a book written all about this. It's called Love and Respect. And that's the main point of the book. It's a good book. Women need to feel loved. That fills them up. That makes them feel valued. That makes them feel good and right. Men need to be respected. That makes them feel that they have value. That makes them feel good and right. And so when the man is giving to the woman what she needs, she will then give to the husband what he needs. And it's this perfect circle. And it works. So how am I supposed to love my wife? Because he just says in Colossians, love her. Don't be harsh to her. Ephesians, boy, he really takes it. Nah, he doesn't just take it up a notch. He takes it all the way up. Look at this. So Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. And then he says this. As Christ loves the church. Are you kidding me? Okay, that's big. As Christ loves the church. Had a friend once, he said, man, I kind of wish the roles were reversed. I would rather just take orders. He said, look at this command I've been given. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or in any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He uses this body illustration again. The head loving the body. The head is going to do what's best for the rest of the body, right? Because they're connected. If I want to walk and move and function as I should, guess what? I'm going to feed my body. I'm going to give my body what it needs. I'm going to do what's best for the body because we're connected. And a husband serving rightly will do the same thing. He won't sabotage his marriage by doing it wrongly, by being harsh. If he's harsh, he's actually hurting his own body and doesn't realize it. Jesus Christ, what did he do for his bride? Laid down his life, sacrificed himself for someone else. Went all the way, laying down his life because he cared so much that she would be better. She'd be purchased. She'd be pure, spotless. In the same way, husbands should love their wives. And look at this, verse 28, and this is in Ephesians again. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. It's good for you, husbands, to be very loving to your wife. If you need help in that area, if you want to help her feel loved, first of all, talk to her. That'd be a good step. There's another good book on this too, The Five Love Languages by Chapman. If you haven't read that, that's good too. It's really good. On giving her what actually makes her feel loved. Because you might be trying to give her something, you think, oh, I just bought you this diamond ring. Listen, it was like $4,000. And she'd be like, great, but you know, I just really want to go to the movies and talk to you and just hang out and watch a movie. Like quality time. That makes me feel more loved. I mean, thanks for the ring. It's awesome, but it might not mean much to her. But then another woman, the diamond ring might make her feel very loved. You got to figure out what makes her feel loved and get at her that way. Because if you love her, you're loving yourself, is what he says. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So Christ's great love is to be the example to the husband. Basically, he's saying love like that. That's big. Let me give you one final motivation, husbands, to not be harsh with your wives. Here's another motivation. This verse won't be up here, but it's in 1 Peter 3:7. Let me just read it to you. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. In an understanding way. Be understanding with her. When life's hard, she's been working all day with the children, and you come home, I know there's not a hot meal. Sometimes you need to be okay with a bowl of cereal, and that's okay. All right? Be understanding, he's saying. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. And then he says this, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Did you know that one was in the Bible? Be understanding with your wife so your prayers won't be hindered. That's a little bit of motivation to be good to her. God not listening to your prayers. You've probably seen it. I've seen men be so rude and ugly to their wives right out there in the church foyer. Not this one, okay? Not this one, sorry. Not this church foyer. I haven't seen it here. But I've seen it in church foyers or right out in the parking lot. I was like, dude. Hindering your prayers, gentlemen. That's the motivation. Children. God's got a word for you too, little ones. This is Colossians chapter 3 again. This is verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything. And then he says, why? For this pleases the Lord. Again, he says, obey them in everything. Really? Even if they tell me to sin? Even if they tell me to go do this and that? Of course not. Where we used to live in Belize, we heard of people using small children to help with their burglaries. Why? Because the children can fit through the little windows. So they would get the kid in there and go find this and this. Kid would go run and do it and come back. Well, that's sin. That's bad. They don't have to obey at that point. They're not bound. God's not up there in heaven saying, well, your dad said to steal, so I guess you better steal. No. Obey them, but not in the sinful things. Obey them, but not in the things that would cause you to disobey the Lord. For that pleases the Lord. Sure, sometimes your parents are going to tell you to do things that you don't like. But sometimes those things are actually good for you. Sometimes mommy and daddy know what's better for you than you do, children. That's just the truth. I remember I used to think, ugh, gosh, I don't want to do this. But now I'm glad I did it. It's good for you. And it pleases God. God's happy when you obey your parents, children. It makes God happy. And then in Ephesians, he has more to say about this. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he goes back to God's top 10. He quotes one of the 10 commandments, children. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. God gave a promise with this one, children. He said, obey your parents, that it may go well with you. You want life to go well for you, I'm guessing, children, right? I don't know any children that are like, I wish my life was bad. No. Children want it to go well. You want it to go well? Obey your parents. You've seen disobedient children. You've seen the tension that brings in the family. I brought a lot of tension into my family, unfortunately, when I was a teenager. Too much, sadly. Repented of those things. I cried with my parents and we hugged. And this is after I became a Christian. Thank the Lord, it's all good now. But it used to be all bad. And it was my fault. I disobeyed a lot. I brought tension in a lot. And you've seen it. So children, obey your parents. It makes God happy. Next, fathers. It is possible to be a husband and not a father. So we have a word to husbands. Now we have one to fathers. Some of you are both. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. To provoke means you do something to kind of make someone angry. You've seen probably someone provoke an animal once that was like behind a cage. It provoked it, made it angry. It's possible to provoke children. How? By being mean, by being unreasonable, by being illogical with them, by just do it. I'm angry. Maybe angry for no reason. I had a bad day. Oh, look, you're here. I'm going to take it out on you, child. Why? Can't fight back. Fathers, if you've been a father, if you are a father, you know sometimes this is a temptation. You are angry, and children are clamoring for needs, and you just want to just take it out on them. And he's saying, don't do that. How are we supposed to do this? Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but this is what you're supposed to do instead. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That will fight against the other. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's got to be discipline there. When they do wrong, you discipline them. Reasonably, of course. And instruction of the Lord. You don't just discipline them. Bye. Here's your spanking. You deserve it. No, there's discipline and there's instruction. This is why this is wrong. This is why there's punishment here. Now, some translations say, I think the NIV for this one says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. What this doesn't mean is you should never make your children unhappy. He doesn't mean that. You're going to make them unhappy sometimes because they're sinners. And when you tell them to do something, there's something naturally in them that says, I don't want to do that. And that's when you say, sorry, Daddy said do it. Trust me, this has got to be done. I know better than you, and this is good for you. I don't care if you don't like it. It's got to be done. And they didn't have to do it. But you're teaching them authority in this too. Because guess what? They disobey daddy. Well, they're going to grow up and disobey the police possibly. And if they're doing those things, they're also disobeying the Lord. Disobeying daddy will get you discipline. Disobeying police will get you jail or prison. Disobeying the Lord will get you hell. So setting this up properly in the home is nurturing a heart to understand why authority is important. And we're all under authority. Every single one of you in this room is under some authority. Even if you're the CEO of your company, you're under the Lord's authority. So we train them up, but we don't embitter them. We don't bring undue anger out of them. They may get angry, but we weren't the cause of the anger. We did nothing wrong in our fathering. So what else? Colossians 3:22 now. This deals with bondservants. So the rest of the chapter is going to deal with bondservants and masters. You say, hey, my translation says slaves. Yeah, if you have the NIV, it does say slaves. This word is doulos. Well, that's the singular. This word actually here is douloi, which is the plural version of doulos, which is slave. That's what it literally means, slave. You say, slavery is abolished, Cohen. So this doesn't apply to us anymore. Okay, yep, slavery is abolished. Thank the Lord. But this has a few principles in it that are actually going to tie to us as employee with employer. Because slavery was so very common in that day that it often didn't even take the face of slavery so much as it was almost like a job. Sometimes it was self-imposed slavery. You owed a debt to this landowner, so you say, I'm going to work for you for 7 years or whatever. So you made yourself a slave to him. You did it yourself. He didn't grab you and put you in chains and beat you. It wasn't like that always. So when you see that word bondservant, just know it literally does mean slave. But we can still draw some principles from this. So let's read verse 22. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly master, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So obey your master over you, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers. Where I work, I don't know who put these rules up, they've probably been there for years, but where I work, by the little desk that I've got, somebody put up some rules. They wrote them out for whoever has this job, and I've got a picture up here. The very first rule, I took this with my phone, it's a little grainy. But the very first rule they have for hints for long-term employment, number one, look busy when boss is around. In direct disobedience to the Bible. The Bible says, obey them not by way of eye service, as people pleasers. If you have the NIV, it words it this way. The NIV says this, not only when their eye is on you. So obeying the Lord, doing what you're supposed to do, even when the boss isn't looking, people, this pleases the Lord. The Holy Spirit, so many times, because I've worked a few different jobs where I didn't have somebody looking over my shoulder all the time. I've worked so many jobs where I was doing something and I thought, oh, I can just let that go. And then I had a voice that said, do your work as unto the Lord. Yes, sir. I go back and I do it the right way. So many times. Now I don't have to hear that voice quite as much. I know that that voice is going to come if I don't do it. And so I just do it. Because I'm doing it for the Lord. Not just when his eye is on you, as rule number one said. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. I'm going to do a good job because I fear God. Did you know God is going to hold you accountable for even how you did your earthly work? Christian employees should be the best employees. I mean, they should cry when you put in your 2 weeks' notice. They should be like, no, don't leave. We love you. You're one of the best employees we have. We're going to go slice your tires or something and make you stay. You can't leave. They should feel that way with you. Everywhere you go, your boss should be like, hey, everybody, be like him. Be like her. I actually worked somewhere once where the boss said about, I wasn't a Christian yet, but there was one guy there that was a Christian, outspoken, but lovingly outspoken about it. And in one of the meetings, you know what the boss said? Oh, I forgot the guy's name. We'll just call him Jerry. He said in the meeting, everybody be like Jerry. Wow. And that's what I'm talking about. Sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily at it. Whoop, he says it again. As for the Lord, not for men. There's a scripture that also says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do your work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. When you clock in, you need to think to yourself, God's my boss. God's my boss. I had a task yesterday. I had to polish certain parts of a motorcycle. It was like the head of the motorcycle. And one of the techs brought up to me and said, hey, will you polish this? And I was thinking in my head, these things are going to shine like money when I'm done with them. Because I wanted to make them shine. I mean, they were dirty and nasty. And in my head, I was like, man, these things, when I'm, don't even look at them when I'm done. You might get a smudge on them. I mean, I was just, I wanted to do a really, really good job. I wanted to. I didn't used to want to. When I was unsaved, I remember thinking, I want to work as little as possible for as much money as possible and get away with as much as I can. That's what I wanted to do. But the Lord changed my heart. I even want to polish goofy motorcycle parts now really, really good. I mean, just be that. Be that. It'll make a difference. If not with people looking, it'll make a difference in your heart. And what else? Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. The Lord will reward you for good work here on earth? Yes. Because you're doing it for Him. And he says this, in case you didn't get it, at the end of verse 24, you're serving the Lord Christ. And this was to slaves. How much more so to free men? And then he has this to say about the person not wanting to obey this. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he's done, and there's no partiality. You do wrong? Okay, just like in your home. There's discipline. There's discipline for you too, as a Christian even, in your place of employment. You might get fired, but he's saying here, the Lord will reward you for your wrongdoing too. And then he has this to say to masters, lastly. Maybe you're not an employee anymore. Maybe you have your own business. Maybe you work from home. Whatever, you're bringing in your own money. First of all, good for you. I'm happy for you. But you've got a responsibility, especially if you have people under you. Treat your bondservants justly and fairly. Why? Knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you are teaching people and they are under you. You're some sort of master over them too. Treat them fairly. Give them what they deserve. You've worked for stingy bosses before, I'm sure. And you've worked for very generous bosses, maybe. If you haven't worked for a generous boss yet, I hope you get one day. It is really nice to work for a generous, generous boss. I've had a few that were just extremely generous. I mean, for Thanksgiving, he was like, do you want this big turkey or do you want this big ham? For every employee. And then at Christmas, hey, big, awesome Christmas party. Totally catered, free food, all this stuff. Even bought gift cards for each one of my children. Very generous boss. And then I've had others that I was like, I can't keep working here. This is just not enough money. And he was just like, will you stay if I give you this much more? Maybe, I don't know. Just very stingy, very greedy. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Master, are you master? Be fair, be just, be like Jesus. Treat these people rightly. It makes a difference. They have homes to go to. They have families and children, possibly. Treat them fair and kind and be like Jesus and live godly. In all these areas, live godly. God created all these things, like me talking about at the beginning, creating the car. God created marriage. He created family. He created work. He knows that if you live like Him in those arenas, you will experience fullness of joy. You'll experience life closer to the way He wanted it to be. And then you'll get to go with Him one day and experience it in its fullness. And won't that be great? So guys, join me and let's live godly. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for these opportunities to teach Your word. And of course, I pray that You'll help me after teaching it not to be disqualified myself. So give me grace to live out these things, to kill sin, to be Christ-like, to live godly. And give grace to all Your people, Father, and those that might not be Your people yet. Convince them of the truth of the Son of God who shed His blood that sinners may be saved and forgiven. In Christ's name, amen.